GameTap removes 7% of their catalog from their service. We look into why. And then we look at two similar-sounding but completely different Sony downloadable games, Beats and Pain. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show week of December 9th, 2007. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype. You just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
Yes, it's the Spike TV Video Game Awards pre-show, I guess, because that's airing in an hour here on the East Coast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us here live on All Games Radio. Welcome. You can head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. And I'll be reading intelligent comments throughout the night. A little bit later on, I'm going to open up our Skype line and our toll-free number. If you want to call in and add your voice to the show, our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. And our toll-free number is 1-866-880-0156. If you're listening to us on the podcast, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email. And you can also leave us a voicemail on that Skype line if you feel so inclined. So I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into it, because there's a lot of stuff to a lot of long things to talk about that I want to get into before we get into our topic for the night for people calling in. One is a follow-up, because our main topic last week was Gerstmann Gate. Jeff Gerstmann, GameSpot, he was let go. And a lot of us felt it was because of advertising, his bad review of Kane and Lynch. And, you know, there's nobody's denying that it was very bad timing in terms of what happened. And a lot of the speculation that was made on the internet by this show and by just about everybody else on the internet was pretty much, we were told that it was incorrect. Now, what I've got here is I've got the official statement from GameSpot, which was released middle of this past week, about what goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there is an extensive Q&A over at GameSpot. You can find the link in the show notes. Jeff was terminated, and it was apparently because of an internal review process by the managerial team to which he reported. And they can't talk about why he was let go. But it stemmed from issues unrelated to any publisher or advertiser. His departure was purely due to internal reasons. So, you know, maybe looking at just the fact it was the tone of his reviews, which is what we talked about a little bit last week, that might have really been all it was. Now, the Kane and Lynch review text was altered, they say, because the Jeff's supervisors and select members of the edit team felt the review's negativity did not match the fair 6.0 rating. So the copy was adjusted several days after its publication to better mesh with the score, which remained unchanged. They also left the achievements and the demerit unchanged from the review. The video review was taken down on November 14th due to concerns of quality, like the audio was deemed inferior due to a faulty microphone, and also, you know, they only showed footage from, like, the first level of the game and things like that. So they basically made a determination, GameSpot's multimedia division did, that reposting it would seem reactive and might exasperate an inflamed situation. That's their quote. So, but they did post it back up in its original glory, in the spirit of full disclosure, and you can even look at the YouTube link to see that, yes, it is the same one. Now, they go on to say, yes, Eidos was upset at the review, and they did express their displeasure to their appropriate contacts at GameSpot, but not to editorial directly. And, you know, they said it's not the first time a publisher's been upset, and it won't be the last. I hear Sony was upset over the Ratchet & Clank Future Perfect Tools of Destruction, whatever it's called this time. They were upset at that review because it got a 7.5. So, and they say, did Eidos' disappointment cause Jeff to be terminated? Absolutely not. Did they cause the alteration of the review text? Absolutely not. Did it lead to the video review being pulled down? Absolutely not. Now, the skinning of the site, the advertising, and I kind of mentioned this offhand during the call-in segment, and I guess I was right on this. Ad contracts and stuff like that, they end at a specific time. And usually it's at midnight a month or two after the campaign starts. You know, it's a very nice round number and stuff like that. So the contract just ended, and it was supposed to be terminated at 11:59 p.m. on that night. So they went on down the way they were supposed to at the time they were originally supposed to, and they didn't go down a second earlier or stay up a second later. So that smoking gun doesn't really exist in this. So that's pretty much it. So that's the story, is that, you know, GameSpot's official word is that Eidos had nothing to do with his removal, that it was all about whatever it was internally that they had an issue with Jeff. And everybody at GameSpot is upset at the way it went down and the timing and all that stuff. And the staffers over there, the people that reported to Jeff, really don't want your death threats anymore. So if you're leaving them death threats, please stop, because that's not cool. Hendrix says, to mesh with the score and mesh with Eidos' wishes. They've claimed that that's not the case. You know, CNET's always talked about how they, you know, CNET and Ziff Davis, lots of seasons, either. They've always talked about how they don't cater to advertiser pressure and stuff. It's just sad that there's so much legal stuff going on with Severance that they can't talk, you know, Jeff can't talk about it. GameSpot can't actually say why Jeff was fired. And really, it honestly shouldn't be any of our business why Jeff was fired, as long as it wasn't due to advertiser pressure. But if it's, you know, maybe he smelled bad in the office or something, I don't know. And Derek H. in chat asks, you know, BW is calling off the death threats. He has that much power? I might. Maybe. Kind of. So let's move on to another topic, because we've spent a lot of time on GameSpot in the past 2 weeks. So let's talk about another company that has game in the title. How about GameTap? This was actually brought up last week by The Matrix by pasting a link in chat showing a whole bunch of games that were going to be taken off the service. And these games are pretty popular ones, you know, by EA, like all the Sim games, like Simtoon, Sim Tower, all those. A lot of children's games, I think it was the Arthur's games, but all the Ultimas were being taken down, all the Wing Commanders were taken down. Interplay games were also being taken off, like Earthworm Jim 2. I noticed that a lot of Epix games, if you remember Epix from the Commodore 64, those are being taken down. I personally liked the Movie Monster game, even though I sucked at it, and Pit Stop and Impossible Mission and Summer Games and Winter Games. Those were really fun, and I really, you know, loved going back, because I played those on my Commodore 64 way back when. And they're all be taken off. It's about 7% or 70 games. And I contacted GameTap for comment, because I did have Rick Sanchez, who is the vice president of editorial and some other stuff over there, and asked, you know, hey, can somebody come on the show to comment on this? And they're like, well, he made a post on the forums. Can you use that instead? So that's what I'm going to read here, because this is not really made the rounds in terms of the news. If you're a GameTap subscriber, December 11th, a whole bunch of games are going to be taken off, and there's actually a playlist called Games Being Removed. That's what you can, where you can see all these games that are being removed, and ones that you should probably hurry up and finish. So this is what Rick Sanchez, or Ricardo Sanchez, because there's another Rick Sanchez at Turner, Ricardo Sanchez posted on GameTap's forums. This was not a news post, this was not a blog post, this was on the forums. This is what he said about this issue. He says, quote, GameTap recently decided to remove 70-plus games from our service. This came as a surprise to some of our fans, but was an important step for us as we continue to make GameTap the ultimate destination online for playing games new and old. Back in May, we added two new ways to get games at GameTap, a free ad-supported catalog and a digital retail store. These two content areas also surprised some of our fans, but we have become very popular offerings. We later introduced Read, our editorial arm, in August, another surprise that has been extremely well received by fans of GameTap and the industry at large. Most of this post, by the way, I'm cutting in here, is chest thumping about the great stuff they did. He continues, GameTap is always changing and evolving. Part of that evolution has been to work with our content partners to renegotiate existing contracts and sign new ones so that games are available in as many of the game content areas as possible, sale, subscription, or ad-supported. During that process, we made the decision to remove a small number of games. They made the decision to remove a small number of games. That removal is what allows us to sign up more details for deals for 2008, excuse me, that better fit what GameTap has become rather than what it was when we launched. We love our partners and their games. even the games that are being removed, I personally am trying to finish a game or two before they are taken down, and just because games of certain publishing partners are coming down now doesn't mean we won't be working together in the future, unquote. So that was the original post. It actually then went on, said, look at what we did in 2007, we're going to do a lot more in 2008. But that was pretty much this thing. So what caught me on this was that he's claiming that GameTap decided to remove a lot of these games. And some of these games are, you know, like Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri and Gettysburg were games that they very recently featured on the service. And Civilization IV was the 1,000th game, and now they're dipping back below 1,000 games. So that kind of... Now I'm kind of wondering what was going on, because I thought I had figured out kind of what was going on, is that they were trying to renegotiate whatever contract they had with EA and Interplay and these other publishers, and it fell through at the last minute, which is why they didn't do anything about it until 2 weeks before they were supposed to go down, and even then it was a quiet removal, or they tried to make it a quiet removal. But this is kind of saying that they're trying to, you know, redo the service, and they're taking away games, which I don't understand why they would have to take away Commodore 64 games for space reasons, if that's the reason. But they made the conscious decision to remove a lot of these beloved games like Ultima and Wing Commander, some of the Wing Commanders they've just recently put up on the service. You know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on there. There are a couple more posts in that thread by Ricardo Sanchez going on, because people were like, okay, you just beat around the bush. And even I said that first, and I was asked, hey, did you see the other posts in the thread? And I dug deeper, and this is what I found, specifically in regards to communication. He says, quote, please accept my apology on behalf of GameTap for how the information about the games being removed was handled. We did not do the best job we could have, and as the head of content, I take personal responsibility for upsetting many of you. Ironically, we rushed to post the information on the info card so people playing the games would have as much notice as possible, which may have led directly to us not handling this to the best of our ability. I cannot promise that we will never remove any other games. Contracts expire. Games become incompatible with new operating systems. I can promise we will learn from this experience and do a better job next time. Unquote. So that's the apology. GameTap really has this great notion of they only disperse information through their official forums, which not many people are on. Especially most of the people that use the service probably don't even know there are forums on GameTap.com. There are, by the way. So I've even noticed that people are talking about, you know, that play Uru Live, the Myst MMO that's on GameTap. Server downtimes are posted on the official forums. There's no, like, server status page or anything like that. And, you know, this is a concern that a lot of people have. It's a concern that I have, this communication going around about things like this. You know, not everything is peachy keen and roses. They did just release a new player, and a new player for Macintosh that allows the Mac platform to play all the games except for the Windows games. The Mac can now emulate. So the Mac now has a much larger base, and the player has been optimized a little bit. They've taken GameTap TV out of the internal player and put it on a website, which I'm not a big fan of, but a lot of people, I'm sure, would be very happy with. So they're kind of, you know, and they're more than willing to talk about that stuff, but stuff like this, they really, you know, they're kind of keeping it arm's length and not really want to talk about the quote-unquote bad stuff. One last comment I did want to read from Ricardo Sanchez in a later post on the forums. He says, quote, we are not taking our focus off of classic games, but from a practical perspective, there are a finite number of classic games that are cleared for licensing, that the owners want to license to us, and that we can get running on our service. We cater to a wide variety of users, and many of them enjoy the newer games as well, so we will continue to bring back both classic and newer titles to the service, unquote. Because that's the thing that some people were noticing, is that especially in the part of the post I didn't read to you, and I will link this thread in the show notes if you want to see it. So, you know, they talk about, you know, how they've gotten Jericho, and they've gotten the Codemasters library, and their new Sam & Max, and the new American McGee game that they're, you know, the new episodic content, all that new stuff, and now they're kind of removing some old classics off the systems, apparently to, you know, if you believe the way that he worded his first post and you read it literally, they removed those classic games to make room for these newer games. I know a lot of people that don't really care that much about the newer games, and they're there because they remember their old Commodore 64, and they enjoyed playing Impossible Mission. And, you know, this is a way to legally play Impossible Mission. Well, not anymore. You know, so That's kind of why I don't know, you know, really where they're going with this, and they're not taking interview requests about this right now. They're more than willing to talk about the new player and the new features coming to GameTap, but this is not a subject they really want to talk about. Derek H. makes the same comment that I kind of made earlier in chat, you know, purely speculation, but, I mean, I would not be surprised if EA is starting its own version of GameTap, because, I mean, I have to sit there and believe that EA looks at GameTap and how successful it's become, looks at the virtual console and how successful that is, look at Xbox Live Arcade and the huge success that Xbox Live Arcade has been. I can't believe that they're not sitting there saying, we want a piece of that pie, we don't want to license out to these guys, we want to do it ourselves. And, you know, they have Pogo.com, so they've already kind of got some kind of subscription service that they can go off of. You know, I would not be surprised to see EA launch their own service with these games, a subscription service, you know, modeled after these existing services to try to say, okay, if you want to play the EA games, you got to come here, and you got to play them here. Now, that's, I have absolutely no reason to, you know, no official reason to think that. That's what's going through my mind, and that's why I think that the deal with GameTap would have fallen through. And that's why it kind of surprised me, the original comment from Ricardo Sanchez, where GameTap's taken the blame for removing the games off the service. I would not be surprised if it wasn't GameTap's fault at all, if it was all EA saying, no, we're going to take our games and do our own thing, and we don't want you being our competition for our own games. Fifth Dream says, that's why GameTap fails. It's so ephemeral, I guess. He's using big words. Damn you, Fifth Dream, for your big words. Games come and go. Sucks if you want to play something that disappears. And, you know, I remember seeing that, you know, yeah, this was a possibility, but it was years down the line is when, you know, when it was asked, like, this summer. They're like, yeah, we're years away from rotating any games off the system, and then this happens, which is why I think it was a last-minute thing. You know, a contract fell through at the last minute. And, you know, GameTap's taking the blame on this one. I don't know why they're taking the fall if that wasn't really the case. But that's the official story on it. RandMC asks, would you still subscribe to GameTap after this info? And I would, personally, because I also like the new stuff. You know, I like the Sam & Max games. And, you know, there are games on there that are still on there. I mean, there's still over 900 games. Not exactly 1,000, but there's still over 900 games. And I guess, you know, knowing now that it's a possibility, I wish they would communicate better on this. But that's the thing, and that's definitely something they can work on, is communication with their user base. But I'm still subscribed to GameTap. And, you know, I'm not going to drop it just because these games are gone, because there are other games on the service that I enjoy that are not going away on December 11th. So let's talk about some games that aren't on GameTap, but are games that I've recently taken a look at. Now, last week in the chat room, for a while now, I have had a couple people have told me, you know, I don't focus on Sony games enough. I've been always talking about Xbox 360 this, and Xbox 360 this, oh, and a little Wii here, but never really much about Sony, because I honestly haven't been touching my PS3 or my PSP for a while. I mean, my PS3 is still folding at home, and I'm curing cancer by the millions, but I haven't really been touching some stuff, and, you know, so I decided to go ahead and purchase some things on my own dime, and I didn't really spend a lot of money, you know, but because it is the holidays, and I wanted to spend it on other people, not you guys, sorry. But I purchased two downloadable titles, and the first downloadable title I purchased was for the PlayStation 3. It's called Pain, and that is a very apt title for this game, because that's what you feel when you're playing it. Now, Pain, essentially, it is, if you've ever played Burnout and you've played the Crash Breaker mode, okay, now replace the car with a ragdoll being flung by a slingshot, and then replace the sound effects. It's no longer car sound effects, but now it's more Jackass sound effects from the Jackass television show, and replace your Crash Breaker with what's called Ooch. So essentially what you do is, this is the entire game, I swear, is you have this slingshot and you're in this city, and you only have one character to choose from. You can get other characters, but they cost like $2. Literally, they get cost $2 and you download them off the PlayStation Store. So you get your little character and you kind of, it's kind of like, it's got the Scorched Earth style of gameplay where you choose the angle and then the power, the velocity. So once you do that, then you launch through the air. Now, while you're in the air, you can drift left or right or up and down, you know, forward and backward. You can also latch onto things. You can grab onto things using the face buttons. So, like, triangle button will grab above you, and you can swing on things and stuff like that. It's not as easy to do as it sounds, but you do get the hang of it pretty quickly. And the object is to cause as much damage to the environment and yourself as possible. You get more points if you get run over by a car than if you just topple something over on top of that car. So, essentially, once you land, then you get this thing called an ooch, and you can basically hit one of the directional sticks and ooch in that direction if you've been hit. And then you run, you know, once you've run out of the ooch, then it refills once you get hit again. So, like, if another car comes and runs over you, then you get another full thing of ooch. And then the six-axis control in it is if you shake the six-axis control, you get what's called a super ooch, which means you can, you know, lurch in another direction, all the while making noises about how much your back hurts because you broke it for flying 300 feet. And that's the game. Not kidding. I mean, there's other modes. There's, like, you know, you have to, like, hit monkeys, and you have to, like, throw a mime through glass. But it's really, that's pretty much the game. It's, you know, the burnout crash breaker mode. Some of the gameplay decisions they made in it kind of perplex me, because there's, in the normal, like, the freeform mode, where you're trying to get points, there's this one city, and then it's the same city, but it's called Aftermath. It's apparently 2 weeks after you've been in there, and they're repairing all your damage. The second part, that Aftermath, is what has the online leaderboards. So that's where you go to get scored, and you can compare with your friends on your PlayStation Network. And that's where it shows the leaderboards. Well, to get to that leaderboard, that area, you have to score 1.5 million points on the first one, which is not an easy task. It took me about 5 hours to score 1.5 million points. I got 1.4 million points. Now, okay, 5 hours is probably over-exaggeration, but it was like 2 or 3 hours. It was a lot of time spent on that same board with the same objects in the same places trying to, you know, fire off in a direction, trying to figure out what works. And essentially, what I had to do is, you know, there's a combo meter. Everything that you hit adds to your combo. So the trick is to really get your combo up as quick as possible, get a high combo, and then pray that other things happen at the right time. You may have to time it and wait for cars to come and stuff. But anyway, you have to get 1.5 million points before you can even unlock the online leaderboard portion of the game. And then once I unlocked that online leaderboard portion, I went into that city, saw that there were, like, you know, saw where they changed, like, the location of the objects and stuff. And then I turned it off because I was bored. So anyway, that was Pain. It's not worth the $10. Makos asks, what I want to know is whether Pain is better or worse than that cool downloadable game where you push a mannequin down a staircase, causing as much damage as possible. If that tickles your fancy, then you might like Pain, but I still think $10 is a little bit too much to pay for this, because you can actually push your guy down a staircase and he goes into a train station and there's explosions down there and things like that. Hendrix says Pain should have been called Thanks for Your Money, Suckers. And Mako also says, so it's basically one of the stunts from Jackass and still apparently better game than Jackass the Game. I haven't played Jackass the Game, and I wouldn't play Jackass the Game. Tiger Claw asks, in other words, you had a painful experience with this game? Yes. And I was ooching all around my couch waiting to get done with this game. And there's no online mode. There is multiplayer mode, and it's local multiplayer, which is probably cool in a party setting. It might be a fun multiplayer game locally, but there is no online option at all. So if you're looking for online gameplay, you're not going to find it here. Just wait for Burnout. And no, what up, G? There is no trial version. There is no trial version of this game at all. You have to spend the $10 to play it. Soli907 does say, you know, ask about if anybody's played Everyday Shooter and about how hard that game is. And yes, it's. I like Everyday Shooter. I've interviewed Jonathan Mack on this show from Queasy Games back at the Independent Games Festival, which he pretty much sweeped with Everyday Shooter this year. And yeah, I love the game. And that is well worth your $10 if you like that type of gameplay. And it is not... It's you know, it may look like a Geometry Wars clone, but it really isn't. It plays a lot differently than Geometry Wars. And, you know, the music, it just the way that it blends the music and the art is really good. There are some flaws with it. I don't like the unlock system. I can only get to track four myself. So, you know, it's got a funky unlock system. But other than that, I do enjoy the game. So the other game that I downloaded was Beats. And this is for the PlayStation Portable. So I actually pulled out my PSP, and it had been so long since I pulled out my PSP, I had to reset the date and time on it. Oops. So Beats is available on the U.S. PlayStation Store. And the first thing that I want to talk about here is this PlayStation Store, because it is not the one on the PlayStation 3. Because I looked, and I would have, you know, been more than happy to just download it to my PS3 and send it over to my PSP. I thought that would have been fine. But it's only available on the online store on their website, which does interface your same PlayStation Network ID, so you access your same wallet, and it has the same look and feel. But, boy, am I glad I know how to use Windows, because I needed to do some funky stuff just to get it to download. So here's essentially what happens. You log into the PlayStation Network store, and then you know, do the same thing that you would on the PS3. You buy it, and you know, it subtracts from your wallet and says, okay, download now. Well, what it downloads is this little INI file called download-beats-. That's what it was actually called. And it was a little INI file. It had some registry keys and stuff like that in it. Or not registry keys, but like, you know, license keys for the licensing of the game. And you need to have, I think, a firmware 3.7 or higher to be able to play this. So then I see, after I've already downloaded this INI file, that there is a little button at the top that says, need to know how to download to your PSP? Click here. So there's apparently a Windows program to download to your PSP. I don't know if there's a Mac one or not, because I don't have a Mac. And Macs aren't real computers anyway. So there's a Windows program to download to your PSP. So you have to install this program. Now, what it doesn't do is add anything to your start menu or your desktop. It's just a program that installs itself. Okay? And then I was reading along, and it says you may need to specify this program with an open with if whenever you download the file. And I was like, okay. So I look, and it didn't add itself to the MIME types in Firefox or in Windows Explorer or anything like that. So I had to go searching around on my hard drive to go find the .exe file, which, by the way, is in program file/Sony is where it is, which I have SoundForge, which is also in Sony, so I didn't notice that the directory had been created or updated because it already existed. So it was in Sony. And so I opened the file with Firefox and said, okay, I want to open with this application, browse to it, and finally it started working. And then it finally downloaded the game Beats, which is about 237 megs. So I was like, cool. So, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm actually doing stuff on my PSP, playing one of the other games I had. And then an error message comes up a little bit, about 65% through, saying, could not find your memory stick. I was like, okay. And it quit out. I was like, okay. So I guess I need to have the PSP plugged in at all times via the USB. So I plug the USB into my computer, put it in USB mode. Everything's happy. It sees my memory stick, all that stuff. And then I reopen that file with the PlayStation, and it starts downloading all the way from the beginning. So it wipes out that entire 237 meg file I downloaded, and I had to wait for it to download again. So I did that, and then it installed and finally installed just fine on the PSP, and we're all good now. So it's there. So now I have Beats on my PSP. It's actually kind of fun. It's only $5. It's a $5 game. It's by Sony London. I think it's by the London studio, so it's one of those. It does have tracks in it, but really the thing that really people like about it, it's a rhythm action game that actually uses the music that's on your memory stick, so you can put your own music in there. And I actually have a YouTube video up. I made a YouTube video today, and I've linked it in chat a couple times. I'm going to see if it's still in my paste buffer. Yeah, there it is. So I'm going to link it in chat. It's also going to be in the show notes, but or you can look for Beats PSP Bobby Blackwolf or something. And I loaded the theme song to this podcast, and I played it. On hard mode, there's four modes. So you can kind of see how it does, you know, and it very quickly does determine highs and lows in the song, and it kind of makes sense. So it actually doesn't do that bad of a job with the algorithm of trying to figure out what, you know, what's going on in the song that you should play for. The gameplay is essentially, it's kind of like if you've ever played Guitar Man, the battle mode in Guitar Man. It's kind of the same as that. Burr was saying earlier, it's more like Samba de Amigo, but there's really not that many ways you can make this game. But basically, there are three circles on the screen, and to the beat of the music, these buttons will either come from the top, left, or right. If they're coming from the left, they go to the left circle, top, they go to the middle circle, right, yeah, okay. So the buttons, they're color-coded, and it's just the face buttons, triangle, circle, square, X. And you have to hit them at when they hit the center, when they hit the middle of the circle. Now, if they're coming down to the center circle, you don't have to do anything else. If they come to the left circle, you have to hold left on the D-pad or right on the D-pad if they're on the right circle. So that's where the difficulty comes in a little bit. And then if you hit certain, flashing buttons, then your little energy meter, whatever they're calling it, goes up. And then when it gets full, you can hit the L button, and you activate Overdrive. And yes, it is actually called Overdrive, Rock Band fans. So you activate Overdrive, and that doubles your multiplayer, go figure, and multiplayer, whatever. And then, when it goes down, then you lose your multiplayer. And the thing that it does to make it a little more difficult is now the notes don't come in at a straight line. They come in at varying different angles. So it makes it harder, and the background's flashing more. It's doing more stuff. So it actually kind of takes away your concentration to try to keep up with the notes that are coming in. So that's essentially the gameplay of Beats, at least in the music challenge mode. I haven't done the jamming all that much, but actually I haven't done it at all. I looked at the tutorials, and that was about it. So, because you can remix the music that comes with the game. There are songs that come with the game. You don't have to have your own MP3s on your memory stick to play the game. It's actually kind of neat, and it does a good job, especially at the lower levels. Now, when you get to, Extreme, it kind of picks out the weirdest portions of the song, because I tried it with all songs that I had written, so I knew them really well, and it really picked up really weird portions of the song. So it depends on the song. If it's very straightforward song, I think it'll pick it up really well. But if there's a song with a lot of syncopation or offbeats or strange rhythms in it, you're going to have a hard time trying to play it, because it's just not going to make sense, the note charts. Tiger Claw says, so is this the PSP's answer to that Harmonix game that's on the iPod that does the same thing with your playlist? Probably. They've probably been in development at the same time. Probably. And I'd like to see a game like this on, a console. Especially if once they get the algorithm working to be able to analyze the music as quick as it does, there's not that much load time to load the song. So, if they can do it on a PSP, I'd love to see what they could do on a PS3. Red Z the Haze says, reminds me of a kiddie version of DJ Max Portable. And he also says they should release DJ Max Portable in the U.S. I agree. More rhythm action games in the U.S. would be great. Sully907 says, Guitar Man was damn near impossible too. I couldn't make it past the Space Shark level. So that's Beats. So in summary, even though they sound the same, Beats and Pain. Pain gives you pain. Beats does not give you pain. So I do recommend Beats. There are some things that, are going to take some time to get used to if you are really used to rhythm action games. The one thing that really did get me on Beats, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, is when you're playing it, and this is more in the harder levels, if a note hits the center of the circle, it doesn't automatically go away if you don't hit it. It sits there for a little while waiting for you to hit that button. So if there's a whole line of things behind it, and you do the whole, okay, I'm going to skip that button and hit all the ones after it, it will count all those ones after it wrong, because it wants you to hit the first button in the combo first before hitting the other ones. So that's something that's a little bit different in Beats than in other games that do the whole, button mashing thing. So you really have to kind of hit every button, even if they're way late, or else you're going to lose the rest of the buttons in the combo. Mako says, I'm watching this Beats video on DesTube, and I can't help but be weirded out by hearing the theme halfway through a live show. It looks like Pulse for the iPod, or Phase for the iPod, but done by Jeff Minter. And one thing is, they don't actually add any sound effects on top of the music, so you're only hearing the music. There's nothing. It's not like Guitar Hero where you're hearing random things in the middle of the song. It is just basically the song. Sometimes it does skip for like half a second or so, the audio will cut out and come back in. It doesn't really throw you off too much, but it is kind of annoying. You know, and the last thing I did want to bring up before I go into the quick music break, because I did go a little bit long here, and I'm going to cut some stuff out of the music break, actually, for the live listeners, but I do need to rest my voice, is the Xbox 360 dashboard update did come out. And, you know, there were some things that were released about that was coming out that people really weren't looking forward to, like the family timer nobody really cared about. Friends of Friends list, a lot of people were vehemently against. They hated it. And now people are using it because it's kind of a neat little clan functionality that's going on there. Basically, it's more like a social network now, which some people don't like as well. You can go in on the Xbox 360 dashboard and put in a bio, and you actually get a lot of room for that bio. I was quite surprised. You can put in your name and your location as well, and that shows up on the friends list. It'll show your name and then your motto, your 21-letter motto. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then you can see their friends, which does have like several random messages and random friends requests from people saying, oh, that's your gamer tag. Okay. There's some other things in there that I do like in the dashboard update. The blades move faster, and they do more of a fading thing instead of a hard cutout. Just, you know, little usability tweaks like that. The inside Xbox feed has a lot of videos, and actually now they buffer the videos in full screen instead of being like a little tiny window and stuff. They've added a free stuff section, which really only shows the free stuff that they're showing, not every free thing on the marketplace. And they've also added Xbox Originals, and some people are like rediscovering Psychonauts for the first time, which I think is great, because Psychonauts, more people should have played Psychonauts. You know, Tiger Claw even says, you know, I've been getting a couple friends requests from people who I think are part of the community because they had the All Games Gamer Picks on them. I've gotten a few messages. I've gotten some invites to Call of Duty 4, a game I don't have, based on the Friends of Friends, but, you know, I think it's fine. I may actually turn my friends list back on, because right now it's set to private, and I may turn it back on. So people can see who's on my friends list and why they're not. So right before I take the music break, I do want to throw out that, you know, tonight is the Spike TV Video Game Awards here in the United States. Being shown on Spike TV starting in about 20 minutes here on the East Coast and later on other coasts. The results are already out, but do you really care? That's the question I guess I have. Do you care about awards? Does something winning Game of the Year, does that make you want to buy the game? Like, you know, if, oh, say a game about an underwater city wins Game of the Year and you didn't buy it, are you going to buy it now because it won Game of the Year? That's the question that I'm going to pose to people in chat, and I'm going to be culling those responses during the music break that we will not be playing on the podcast because we're cheap, and then we'll be back and take your calls on that or any other topic you want to talk about tonight. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
I want my Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back. I want my Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back. I want my Bobby back.
Welcome back, Bobby back. Welcome back.
I want my Bobby back
to the Black Wolf Show.
Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back. I want my Bobby back
on Skype, Bobby back, or call in.
I want my Bobby back
on the telephone.
Bobby back, Bobby back, Bobby back.
And that was Pen15 sending me another bumper today about coming back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Unfortunately, I don't think he's in chat today, so he didn't get to enjoy that. If you want to leave a bumper like that, send it to us at Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, or send me an MP3 at blackwolf@allgames.com, and you'll hear it here on the air. A couple of things that people have said. Fifth Dream said, a game winning an award mean the masses most likely love them, which means I probably won't. So an award usually works against the game for me. A couple of people said yes, that game-winning Game of the Year would make me buy it. No means no, that they wouldn't. And Chrisville said, I think it was Chrisville, somebody said, and I can't find it now because I'm dumb, you know, that at least G4 stopped making a big issue about video game awards. They kind of relegated it down to X-Play. They kind of got rid of the whole G4ia concept. Mako says, would I get a game if we were awarded some accolade? Depends on how I feel about the awarders. The magazine I read a lot? Yes, I trust them. FHM? Probably not. Awards decided by a bunch of random celebrities that will vote for anything, but it doesn't matter as long as they get free stuff. More chance at Lucifer needing ice skates. And one thing about the Spike TV Video Game Awards that are airing tonight, I found it quite interesting, and this is really my only comment on it, is that they used to have a category called Best Song in a Video Game. Okay? And these would always go to something in Madden or something like that. Best song in the video game. The one year there is actually a song made for a video game that wasn't made for Madden or anything like that. The one year that there is a song that would absolutely win that award, they get rid of the award. The category is no longer there. The one year, the first year, there is actually a song that would win it. That is so not a huge success. I cannot contain my disappointment. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our Skype line and our phone line. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. I hear that Chris Phil is going to be doing some kind of Operator11.com thing, making fun of the VGAs. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, you may be able to hear a lot of people make fun of the VGAs. DR4EV asks how I got my show theme into Beats. We're going back to Beats. Beats actually reads any MP3 file that you have on your memory stick. So you can basically just plug your PSP up into by a USB to your PC and just copy into the music folder. You can actually copy subfolders in there and things like that, and it'll read anything that's in there. I think it'll even read anything you download via the RSS channel. So, you know, there's a couple ways you can actually get MP3s on there, and it will work with all those, and it doesn't skip a beat. We do have a call on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Yo, this is Xenocor.
Hey, Xenocor. What's going on, Xenocor?
Oh, my God, the Spike Video Awards.
Uh-oh.
Every time this short comes on the air, I want to shoot someone, man. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Why is that?
Well, it seems to me that I don't understand exactly the way they select who's winning. I'm guessing it's by popular vote off the website or whatever.
No, you'd be guessing wrong.
No, okay. Then exactly how did they come up with this one? Just celebrities voting on this one?
Not celebrities. Actually, if you go to SpikeTV.com, it may be hazardous to your health to go there, but if you go there, you will actually see a selection committee of a whole bunch of actually respected video game journalists, including like Jeff Gerstmann's on there, Jeff Keighley, and Guy Kroll, and there's a whole bunch of gaming journalists and Destructoid. So gaming journalists and Destructoid are up there. But they're basically the selection committee that came up with the nominees and the winners.
Hmm. That troubles me. Mm-hmm. Based off the list that was published on Kotaku and such, how does Bioshock get best game when Call of Duty 4 beats it out as best shooter?
I don't know.
Yeah, little things like that make me, mm-hmm. once I see one or two like that, I want to throw the whole thing out and just look for something else.
Right.
But yet, because it's on Spike, this is going to be highlighted amongst most of the newbie and, casual gamers that watch the channel. And mm-hmm. it brings down the whole industry, man. Spike TV should not be putting on an award show for video games.
But I mean, who should? Should there be an award show for video games? And who should vote on it?
Yeah, I guess that's the major question then. I mean, if you pick one agency, then somebody else is going to have a reason to downsize. Like, I would say maybe the GDC is a place to do that type of thing for the games of the past year. But, you know, that will come out like maybe 6 months to a year after the games have already been published. And mm-hmm. I guess it's a hairy situation no matter where you go. But just not this one. Something else, please.
Well, I mean, GDC, they do have an award show for the GDC. There is the, at the DICE Summit, there is the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences Awards, which mm-hmm. are kind of more like the Oscars and stuff. But, I mean, you know, they're determined by the same people that actually determined the Spike TV Awards.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with this one, Leon. I guess it's I guess it's mainly a matter of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's all I really had, man.
Okay. Thanks for your call, man.
Hey, no problem. Talk to you later.
Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. Mako says, so Blackwolf doesn't believe Destructoid aren't game journalists. Is this some sort of unwritten No Metal Headgear rule we don't know about? Actually, it's a dig on what Destructoid posted on their site. They're like, yeah, it's chosen by a whole bunch of game journalists and us. So I'm only repeating what they said. So they're all about the self-deprecating humor over there. It's all good. So we do have another call on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take this and shut everything else off. Okay, so Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. It's Derek H. from Virginia Beach.
Hey, Derek H. Welcome to the show. This is your first time calling into the show.
Yeah, man. It's going to have to be my new show since AGI has killed itself. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. So what's on your mind tonight?
Xenocor's wrong.
Okay.
As usual.
And why is that?
Even though the Spike Awards suck, even though they're stupid and idiotic and have no basis on what real gamers play or like, the thing is, it's the only show on not even a major network, but a big enough network to get the regular people watching it. And even if for the first 5 or 6 years is just crap, if it gets bigger, if it gets big enough, eventually they're going to have to start picking real games, and we're finally going to have a real game show, a real award show.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's, you know, I'm beginning to like some of their choices more and more, because I remember the first video game show, I think Madden won Game of the Year. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I see. Yes. Madden should never win Game of the Year.
Yeah, so I think Madden won Game of the Year the first time, and it was even like the first award they gave out and stuff. And, you know, I remember Spike TV, they were trying to, in the beginning, make it seem like it was popular vote and all that stuff, which was really sneaky on their website, is that they had polls on their website for each category, but they would ask, instead of asking, who do you vote for in this category, the question would actually be, who do you think will win this category?
An award show should never have, should never be by popular vote. That's the worst way to have an award show.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I agree, because then you just get the spammers and, you know,
it's the flavor of the month. All of a sudden, Halo 3 is the greatest game ever made, and BioShock is, there's never any game greater. It's the Jeff Keighley effect.
It's the greatest game ever created.
Yeah, Mass Effect is the greatest RPG in the history of RPGs because it came out yesterday.
Right. And I mean, I agree, because I really think that, you know, video games should deserve some kind of award show, and, you know, and the way that the Spike TV's there, the way that they do it is that they do get, like, the normal people, the normals, I guess, that don't play games to watch. I mean, that's why they've got the Foo Fighters playing several songs on there, and they've relegated Video Games Live apparently to like 1 or 2 minutes, and that's it. You know, they get them to watch, and then they can showcase some of these, you know, really games that they probably haven't heard of that aren't Madden and stuff. So, I mean, I do think that, you know, there's a place for this, and I think, you know, as they get older and can start choosing more critically acclaimed games than just Madden and the flavor of the month, then, I mean, I think that Spike TV can do a good thing.
I'm just surprised Bejeweled didn't win anything yet.
It didn't win Best Mobile Game this year?
If it didn't win this year, it's going to win next year.
Okay. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Bye, Bobby Blackwolf Show. Hey, can I do one of those bumper things?
Sure.
Do I have to mail it in, or where do I email it to?
You can email it to blackwolf@allgames.com, or you can just leave a voicemail on Skype, too, if you want to do that.
Bye, Bobby Blackwolf.
Bye, Derek H., ladies and gentlemen. So I will take one more call, because I do want to get off the air before the Spike TV Video Game Awards start for those in the East Coast, because I do know that people want to go heckle it on Operator 11, and that's always fun to do. Mako says, you know, I think I've worked out why I don't agree with these award shows. They're for the general public, not for us. Normal people don't care about Portal's cake. They care about things everyone else likes. Personally, I think I'm too elitist. Binary 667 says why does Game of the Year have to be the game that sold the most? That would have made Cars the third best game last year. And, you know, Game of the Year, if you do it right, you know, it's not about sales. Game of the Year, just like, you know, the winner of Best Picture at the Oscar is usually not the blockbuster motion picture from the summer. You know, Transformers isn't going to even be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars this year. I'm sorry. It's just not. I'm sorry, Tiger Claw. You know, so Game of the Year should not be reflective of sales. Just because one game sold, you know, $170 million on its first week, that does not necessarily make it Game of the Year. That just means that a lot of people bought it. A lot of people buy Madden every year. But nobody here, I mean, even though it did win Game of the Year at the first Spike VGAs, nobody here agrees that it should be Game of the Year, even though it's a top seller. You know, should Pokemon be Game of the Year every single year because it's always a top seller? No, it shouldn't. It, you know, I think that Psychonauts should have been the Game of the Year, and it sold poorly. I mean, people are still discovering Psychonauts years later, and it's a great, awesome game, and everybody should play Psychonauts. What Up G says, I remember Titanic getting Best Picture. That was one of the... Titanic and Lord of the Rings are like two of... like the only two instances of a movie that... one that got so much money in the box office also winning Best Picture. Usually it's something a little, you know, a little bit more obscure winning Best Picture. You know, I don't see the problem with, you know, Halo 3 not winning Game of the Year. So we do have one last caller here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Sully907.
Hey, Sully907, what's on your mind?
Well, I'd just like to point out that both Xenocore and Derek H. are wrong on this.
Ooh.
One.
Cool. Three sides of wrong. What's up?
Yes, it's true. I'm looking at the nominees and the winners for the Spike TV, and they seem to have some merit. They seem to reflect what real gamers are thinking is the best game. They gave Skate best sports game. I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. They gave Dirt best racing game. They didn't just hand it over to Forza, or they didn't just hand it over to some other mainstream game. Mm-hmm. They gave they took a chance and they gave BioShock Game of the Year over, you know, something like Halo 3, like you might expect them to do two or three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then it's a hell of a lot better than a joke like the G4ia Awards last year with. Gears of War winning best voice acting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, it's still not perfect, you know, but it's better overall.
You know, I actually haven't looked that much at the list. That's kind of why I really wasn't commenting much on the final list. You know, I know that Portal did win something and stuff, and that's, you know, Portal's my game of the year personally, just because that's the one I enjoyed the most. And obviously it didn't sell as much as anything else out there. But, you know, yeah, I think that it's getting better. You know, they've kind of gotten a good group of people to determine the awards. Like I said, the list is up on SpikeTV.com if you're interested. So I think, you know, I think it's getting there.
Yeah, hopefully, it's like you were saying, we'll have that, we'll get the mainstream in there, and then the mainstream will turn into real gamers, and then it'll just be better for everybody in the long run.
And by the way, everybody's really upset that we're spoiling it, but on the podcast it doesn't matter because the podcast will be out way after it airs anyway. So
yeah, they have, those things have been on the internet for about 2 days now. They need to calm down.
So anyway, thanks for your call. We're going to get off the air here so people can start making fun of it.
All right, have a good one, man.
Thanks for calling in. So that is it. That is all that I'm going to inflict on you guys this week. We'll be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com, so you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic, or leave a bumper for use on the show, Bobby Blackwolf Show. Make sure the mute button is off before you leave the voicemail, please. Also, email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or we've got forums over at allgames.com, and you can take part in our community. However, we would not be able to make the live show work without spoiling the chat, I mean, without the help of the chatters. AGN Studio, Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, Hendrix, Tedekin, The Rob D, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, Fifth Dream, Ichiban, Loserly, Mako, The Matrix, Tommy's Liar, Q4Q, Alt, Amazitsuma, Bacon Bits, Binary 667, Biohazard 82, Boxy, Cedabria, Derek H, Firecube, Footy Monster, Funnydale, Gorilla, Havoc 978, Interlogic, Joe Kill, Johnny 5, JTW, Just Insane, Maximilian, Mecha, Mike Hunt, Mr. Elusive, New Shiny CD, OSU Fan, Random C, Redzy the Haze, Richie Manic, Spike Spiegel, Sub-Z, Sully 907, Sunbun, TDB30, Tiger Claw, Valerno, VXJasonXV, What Up G, Wilcon, Xenocore, Zappy, and GZDR4EV. So that's it. Go turn on the TV if you're on the East Coast, and head on over to Operator 11, because I think somebody's going to make fun of it. And we'll have fun. So I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.